Stop jumping on me. Ah, why are you doing that?
Having a bad dog day?
Rex, come back here.
From police dogs to pet dogs, from potty training to pet peeves, number one best-selling author and 30-year canine trainer Andy Falco knows how to get to the meat of what's eating your dog. This is Falco Canine Dog Talk,
the show that helps you and your dog create a relationship of love and respect.
What a good boy. Good heel, Rex. I love you, Rex.
And now here's your host, Andy Falco.
Hello, gang, and welcome to another episode of Falco Canine's Dog Talk. And I love our intro, especially that part where it says, do you have a love-hate relationship with your dog? So we're going to talk about that particular issue today. I also want to talk about the there's a story that in the Bay Area, which is in Northern California near San Francisco, that a police dog was shot because it came out of the car and bit a police officer that was coming in to go on duty. And I want to talk about that just a little bit. I also want to talk about some of the new things we have happening around here at Falco Canine Academy, that if you're listening to this and you're not in Orange County, or if you're not in Yorba Linda, in particular Brea or some of the surrounding areas, that you now have an opportunity where you can learn from our training experience, and it's going to be awesome. So let me just go ahead and address that first. So, if you go to our website, which is brand new, by the way, we just updated our website, and it's getting updated every other day or so with new information, but it has a whole new look. And you're going to see on there that there's a button called membership, and you can log into a membership site, and it's going to eventually be somewhere around $299 eventually, but right now while we're introducing it and pushing it out, it's only $47. So I would get in right now as we are putting more and more videos in on a regular basis. So go ahead and check that out when you get opportunity. And in that membership site, it's going to be more than just dog training. You are going to get the eight-week process that we give all of our group training clients. And that is a step-by-step training process for basic understanding of your dog and basic obedience. And I say basic, and I really wish there was another word we could use, because our basic is so far more intensive than what you might get at some of those other locations like PetSmart, Petco, or your local park, that we cover a lot of area, and we want you to have a loving and respectful relationship of your with your dog. And so in the membership site, you're going to get all those videos that talk about that. You're going to get some videos on nutrition. You're going to get some videos on veterinarian issues that may come up. You're going to get, there's just so much. You're going to know everything that you need to know about a dog, in particular your dog, will be found in this membership site as we continue to add videos and content to that. So I would get in now, because it may be more than $299. A thought that we have around here is that it's about $600 or so of content out there as it stands now. So the value is going to be fairly high. So $47 is a steal as you're getting in there as we are continuing to add content. All right, let's talk about the police officer that shot the canine in Northern California. And what happened was, in a patrol car, just so you know, there is a mechanism that allows the back door where the dog is, to be opened up by a button push on the handler's belt. Sometimes it's on the belt, sometimes it's in the breast pocket, or on a clip somewhere else on the uniform of the police officer. And when the police officer gets into trouble, that button is pushed, and he can call his dog out to help him out. And it sounds like, in this case, the patrol car was parked in the back lot of the police department. The handler was not in the patrol car. He was either standing outside or inside, maybe attending briefing, maybe doing something. And at about the same time the vehicle was parked out there and the police officer or the canine handler was not around, another police officer coming in to go on duty in his plain clothes happened to be walking by the car at the wrong time. For some reason, the car door got popped open, and it's called a door pop is what we call it in the industry, and somehow that door got popped, and the door opens up, the Belgian Malinois comes out and immediately bites the off-duty police officer coming in to work. he pulls out his off-duty weapon and shoots the dog. Fortunately, the dog is going to live. And so he probably just was trying to shoot the dog to the point to get him off, not trying to kill him, because it would be pretty easy with the dog. That dog happened to be biting him in the hand. Fairly easy, I think, to get a bead on the dog's in the dog's chest and actually take the dog out if he really, really wanted to. And I'm guessing that he did not want to kill that dog. He just was trying to get the dog off his hand. So here's a couple of issues that get brought up that I want to talk about. And one of them is that in our training here at Falco Canine Academy, what we do is train the dog not to come out of the car on the door pop unless he can either see the handlers being assaulted by a suspect, or he hears the command from the handler to come out of the car. Otherwise, the dog is to stay in the car. And the reason being, because not only because we don't want the dog coming out and biting an innocent person, but more police officers, more police canines are probably killed by being hit by a car than being shot or stabbed. And that is because of the door pop. The door pops open and the dog comes out, and he comes out confused looking for the handler and runs out in the street and gets hit by a car. And so for both of those reasons, we want the dog to stay in the car. I remember as a canine handler at Anaheim Police Department, I was trying to hop over a fence. Well, I did hop over a fence. And I guess there was a little bit of trying, but then I was successful. And as I got over, I did not realize that the button that was on my belt got pushed and the door popped open. Well, I went inside the complex, the apartment complex that I was trying to get over the fence to a domestic violence call, and got there, handled the call. About 30 to 45 minutes later, as I come out to my patrol car, I see the doors open and go, oh no, where's my dog? And I hope the training worked. And I walked up to my patrol car, and there's the dog laying inside the back of the car. Since I had been gone, a motorcycle had pulled up and parked next to my patrol car with the open door. And so I am thankful the dog didn't get out and bite that guy who got off the motorcycle. As he got off his motorcycle. So that's where the training worked. That's where I'm thankful that we conducted that kind of training. So it's really important. It's obvious that at Redmond Police Department, where this canine bit the police officer, that that's not part of their training. Because especially with a Belgian Malinois who is a high-intensity dog, I don't know if this dog is social or not, but it's not often that a dog comes out of a car hot when there's nothing to trigger the dog to be aggressive. And so I have a concern about that dog's sociability and what is going on with that situation too. So there's a couple issues going on there. And my biggest message to all of you that are listening, whether you are a police officer or a civilian with a dog, is that you need to train your dogs to stay where they're at regardless of what the doors are doing. So making your dog sit and stay when the front door goes open to greet the UPS guy or to go outside to get the mail should be a regular practice of your training. And that includes the outside gate. So you open the gate, dog goes into a down stay at a certain position, which is usually about 5 to 6 feet away from the opening of the door. That way the door can swing open. And the dog stays while you open the door, bring in the trash cans, do all that kind of stuff. Don't make it a habit of when you open those doors, your car door, your gate, your front door, your back door of the dog, feeling that that is the trigger to go run and run amok. That's what often happens. We often open the door and say, go, and the dog goes and splits. Well, pretty soon you don't have to say go anymore. You just got to open the door, and the dog takes off and runs. Now, a dog doesn't necessarily, now there are dogs that, some dogs that do, but they're, not every dog understands that you can run out the back door, but you can't run out the front door. So if you're having a problem with your dog running out the front door, I'm guessing that your dog must be allowed to run out the back door when you open it too. And so what you have to do is every door in the house is a door of stay upon opening until you tell him to go through. Every door, the side door, the garage door, the back door, the front door, the gates, the car door. Opening a door is not the command to go run out and explore and do your thing. All right, so stay at the door. Very, very important. This is just one lesson that we learn and take away from this canine running out of the car and biting an off-duty police officer. All right, love-hate relationship. Now, when we got our dogs, we really We're hoping for this fantastic relationship that we could go for walks, that we could go to Schlotsky's Deli, that we could just, you know, everybody that comes over, that everybody loves your dog, that kind of stuff, except for there are some dogs that don't have the same dream. Their dream is to chase the neighbor, to, you know, go run out and find the other, the opposite sex dog that's in heat, or to pull the dirty diapers out of the trash can and eat them and tear them up and throw them all over the house. Or the dog's idea of fun is getting into the hamper and pulling out your underwear and tearing it all up, or your shoes. And so the love relationship becomes a love-hate relationship, because you love the dog, but you hate what he does. You hate that you can't take him for a walk because he embarrasses you, or she embarrasses you because she barks at all, everybody that walks by, and that kind of stuff. So how we resolve this is through our training, of course, and our day-to-day habits that we build with the dog. And so I want to encourage you with your dog, even if you have a loving relationship with your dog and nothing's gone wrong yet, is that you begin to make sure that you have a routine of rules that the dog can understand, and that are simple, and that are that you're consistent, that everybody in the family is consistent with the same rules, so that you can make sure and always continue to strive for a pure loving relationship and try to stay away from that, the hate relationship. So often, many of these things can be avoided if we just set up really firm rules and boundaries with our dogs. And we go, now I want to go back to the one about the doors. That is a really good rule and boundary that the dog understands, that the door opening up is not the command to run. The door opening up is the command to stay. The command to go out and run is when you say, go and run. Or maybe to come out and just heal, or come out and stop. And you want to make sure and put all these rules and boundaries in so that you don't begin to have a relationship that begins to get strained, because now the dog is doing things and now you have to try to reverse what has been going on. If you set these rules and boundaries up early on and maintain them, then you don't really have to worry too much as things continue on, that it will be an understanding that you know the dog's not supposed to stick his head in the trash cans, that the dog is not supposed to be eating shoes, that the dog is to keep his head out of the hamper, and so on and so forth. You can even have a rule where your dog does not enter the kitchen. And you can have a boundary where the carpet ends and the tile begins. All these things are possible. You just have to be consistent, and you have to be strong, and everybody else in the family has to be on the same page. And so I would encourage you to get into some good training. If it's local, obviously we would love for you to be with us. But when you go out looking for a trainer, make sure you find a trainer that has good experience, that has well-rounded experience with all the training tools, even the bad ones. And I'm going to tell you why in a second, but even the bad ones, so that you can make sure that your trainer understands you and your dog, right? And so the reason you want somebody with all the training methods, even the bad ones, is because you want somebody that has experience, that knows what not to do, or knows what to recognize when a training tool was used inappropriately, even if it's by accident. Sometimes people put a pinch collar on a dog and they don't realize that they're doing any damage to their dog, because they bought the collar at PetSmart. Obviously, the clerk at PetSmart would have said, hey, don't do this with the collar because it's going to be really bad. But when they don't tell them that, they just go ahead and just put the collar on as it is that they bought it, not realizing that it has to be sized and fitted. And you begin to cause problems. So a trainer that understands how a training tool can be misused is extremely important, because they'll recognize it right away. Oh, I see why your dog is doing this. It's because of this history. Or they'll ask you the question. They'll know to ask you the question. Hey, have you ever put a pinch collar on the dog and it's really loose? And you'll say, if he has, yeah, we just put it on the way we bought it. And they'll recognize that that is inappropriate, and that could be one of the things that's causing your problem. So it's important to find a trainer that has a lot of experience, not just click and treat. Even if you're going to a click and treat trainer for click and treat training, you want a click and treat trainer who has experience with the collars and knows what they are. Gentle leaders are not training tools. They're ways of controlling your dog and controlling his head. I don't particularly care for them, because they don't train your dog. They just turn his head and keeps him from pulling. It's not necessarily a training tool. And so make sure that you get a trainer that has all these experience and that can really also really understand your breed. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. If you have any questions, make sure and give us a call. We'd really like to hear from you, or send us an email. And you can send that at admin@falcocanineacademy.com, or just simply go on our website and fill out the form that's on there, and the form will send that directly to our admin@falcocanineacademy.com. All right, so that's another good reason to visit our website. Make sure and check out our membership site. I think you'll find it very useful. For $47, it's a steal. I would get on there now, and you can. That's a lifetime membership for $47, and you won't have to worry about a thing. All right. I'll talk to you at the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.
Do you have a love-hate relationship with your dog? Learn how to change that into a relationship of love and respect with help from Falco Canine Academy.
Get your free training report at falcocanineacademy.com.
Thanks for listening to Falco Canine Dog Talk,
the show that helps you and your dog create a relationship of love and respect.
If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our web address at www.falcocanineacademy.com.
And like our Facebook page at facebook.com/Falco Canine Academy.
Follow us on twitter.com/Falco Canine Academy.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/Falco143.
And remember, if you've got questions for Andy, call the K9 line at 714-798-9961. That's 714-798-9961.
This is a production of Falco Enterprises Incorporated. All rights reserved.